Well, good morning on this beautiful May 13th, 2010. My name is Michael McCusker. I'd like to spend this program reading a few things about a friend who is now dead and some of the things he wrote. And I'd like to give a little preface to him. I'm sure many of you knew him and have known of him. Arthur Honeyman, 1940 to 2008. Arthur Honeyman, a notable and notorious Oregonian who died December 8, 2008, would have been 70 years old on May 10th this year, this past Monday. He was a teacher, poet, and writer, author of the award-winning Salmon as Cart and several other books, essays, and collections of his poetry. He was co-founder of Wheel Press. He had a Bachelor's of Science degree in History and a Master of Arts in English, both from Portland State University. He was a remarkable person who led a heroic life. He was born with cerebral palsy and spent his life fighting for the rights and recognition of people who are considered physically handicapped. He wrote of himself, "I am a spastic. I was born with cerebral palsy. I am a freak. My body shakes like four winds tearing at it from all points of the compass. My speech is tortured almost to being incomprehensible. I drool and vomit almost uncontrollably. I cannot even write without laboriously dictating to someone. I also cannot eat unless someone feeds me. To go to the bathroom, someone has to take me, put me on the toilet, and wait until I am finished. I have to be undressed for bed and dressed the next day for work and school. I am an adult and have to be cared for like a six-month-old baby." He used to have an old Peanuts cartoon panel tacked to his wall. Charlie Brown shouts, "My mind is at war with my body." But his mind was free, he wrote. He was a scholar as well as a writer, poet, and teacher. One class he taught at Portland State for a number of years was The Grotesque in Literature, from Grendel to Quasimodo to Frankenstein. He wrote a series of books, illustrated by Astoria artist Michael DeWade, which were thinly disguised autobiographical accounts of growing up with cerebral palsy. The first book, Salmon as Cart, was made into an award-winning movie, and a recent motion picture, The Music Within, features an actor playing him as a leading character. He had been a member of the Oregon Commission for the Handicapped and unsuccessfully campaigned twice for the state legislature. He traveled extensively throughout the United States, alone or accompanied. He especially loved riding trains and once took a Caribbean cruise aboard a staysail schooner. I was aboard with him that time. He and his former wife Joanne created Wheel Press to publish his books of prose and poetry. He also wrote for a number of periodicals, including the North Coast Times-Eagle, the paper I published. He was a familiar figure in his homemade cart his father constructed when he was a boy. It had a sign in front, "Spastic power is irrational, but so is love." He managed a very public trek along I-5 several years ago from Portland to Salem in his cart, which he propelled with his feet. A compelling newspaper photograph was made of him as police prepared to haul him away under arrest during a protest demonstration at Trojan Nuclear Power Plant, one of several he participated in, which in addition to his writings helped to eventually close the facility. He was also prominent in the anti-Vietnam War movement and proudly proclaimed himself as a radical, nonviolent altruist. In 1981, he was in a hospital because his incessant spasticating had built up calculus in his neck and pinched off his spinal cord, paralyzing him until surgery reopened the channel. While abed as a patient, he received hundreds of cards, letters, and telephone calls from friends and strangers who said he had been of enormous inspiration for them and hoped their prayers and goodwill would help him recover. He collapsed while visiting friends on Whidbey Island in Puget Sound a week before his death. He was life-flighted to Harbor View Hospital in Seattle, where he died without regaining consciousness. And that was sort of a very sketchy biography of Arthur Honeyman. I would like to read now something he wrote, Matrix of a Social Spastic by Arthur Honeyman. Cerebral palsy is perhaps one of the worst afflictions that can strike a person. Because I am a victim of this affliction, much of what I am writing centers around me. What I write is what I have observed from self-experience and from others who are also handicapped by cerebral palsy. I write not only about the physical problems of the cerebral palsied, but also show psychological problems the cerebral palsy victim suffers. I do not intend a long and technical analysis, which I myself do not understand and cannot even hope to explain. I will satisfy myself by barely touching the definition and the causes of this affliction. Because cerebral palsy is not a disease, and because most cerebral palsy victims have internal organs which function normally, the average CP has no real health problems. For instance, I am rarely sick enough to stay in bed. Most of the literature which is written on cerebral palsy concerns the care of children stricken by it. I will try to restrict myself to the problems of the teenager and the young adult. Cerebral palsy is also known as Little's disease. Dr. Little was probably the pioneer in medical interest in what is commonly known as palsy or spasticity. The number of victims of cerebral palsy is estimated at various numbers. One book says there are 400,000 CPs in the United States, while another says there are 550,000. About 200,000 of these are children, and 350,000 are adults. It has also been estimated that every 53 minutes a child is born with cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy is, of course, due to brain damage, probably the medulla and cerebellum. Some injuries are prenatal, others perinatal, and others postnatal. Prenatal damage is generally due to two types of injuries, either hereditary or congenital. Tuberous sclerosis and Tay-Sachs disease fall under the first cause. Anoxia, maternal infections, metabolic disease, and Rh factors fall under the latter cause. Cerebral palsy due to prenatal, during birth, perinatal, I beg your pardon, during birth, is generally caused by mechanical damage such as trauma. This includes squeezing the brain too hard during labor or by forceps in the process of delivery. Also, there are prematurities, low vitamin K levels, and anoxia. Perinatal also includes asphyxia, which is due to respiratory obstructions during labor. Postnatal refers to brain damage after birth. Such injuries as skull fractures and wounds come under trauma, which is usually brought about by falling on the head or by similar accidents. The second is infectious, which is caused by meningitis and encephalitis. Third is vascular by hemorrhage, thrombosis, and embolus. Anoxia is caused by carbon dioxide and or monoxide poisoning and neoplasms. There are several types of cerebral palsy. There is spasticity, which is usually characterized by short jerks or rhythmic spasms. Athetosis refers to a type of cerebral palsy in which the victim makes twisting, worm-like motions. This is the type I suffer. More often than not, spasticity and athetosis are intermingled. The third type is ataxia, which refers to slow, stiff, almost paralyzed movements in which walking is difficult. There is a sense of anti-gravity, and the victim often has a reduced sense of balance. Other characteristics are flabby and loose muscles. The fourth is rigidity, which is characterized by stiffness. The victim finds it difficult to move limbs, and motion resembles an unoiled robot. Tremor is the fifth type, and is characterized by involuntary rhythmic movements. In some victims, not only may their muscles be uncoordinated, but the senses may be haywire. Some CPs are disturbed by spasticity in their eyes, which may receive double vision, reducing the person's sense of balance. As with all CPs, disturbances like these are caused by misdelivery of the message to the brain through the nerves, resulting in an inaccurate perception of the eyes. An example of an athetoid's problem of muscles is when an athetoid reaches for an object. Nerve cells misdirect the hands so that the object is not reached or knocked over. Also, in many CPs, hearing may be defective. The result is that the CP may appear to be stupid or uninterested. For centuries, the CP was regarded as an idiot because of spasticity, drooling, speech, and other convulsive traits. CPs can be paraplegics, which refers to two limbs, quadriplegics, four limbs, or hemiplegics, one side of the body. Because athetosis is the affliction I suffer, I am going to concentrate on it. Also, I believe it to be the most terrible of the various types of cerebral palsy. The reason is this. Many victims of athetosis are not able to write or feed themselves, display annoying and unpleasant actions such as facial contortions and drooling, and exhibit worm-like movements. This naturally means the CP is not readily accepted by society. Obviously, one can see what this would do to the average CP's social standing. The athetoid can be extremely strong physically and still not be able to attend to the simplest things, which the average person takes for granted. I can lift myself up by using an overhead bar so that my feet don't touch the ground, but I cannot hold on to a glass of water. Not because I am not strong enough, but rather because I am uncoordinated and the glass shakes out of my grasp. The harder I try to do something, the more difficult it becomes. I become excited and tremble, which almost everyone does from fear or excitement, to a much greater than normal degree. I spasticate. One may ask, why not relax? Of course I should relax. I would be able to do all sorts of things. I would be able to speak better. But it is difficult for an athetoid to relax. It takes us rigorous and slow training and development of muscular control to relax. This depends partially on the severity of the affliction, partially on individual character, upbringing, background, and environment, and also on medical facilities as well as psychological or psychiatric treatment. I believe the greatest overall problem which a CP, especially an athetoid, faces is the problem of being socially accepted. One cannot rightfully expect to be accepted on an equal basis by society unless he or she proves equal to it. This is true whether it is blacks, Jews, alcoholics, or CPs. On the other hand, society must give each the equal chance to prove equal, which it does only reluctantly and slowly. This means minority groups must work twice as hard or more to achieve acceptance. This is extremely difficult for a CP, particularly the athetoid, because of the inability to function as well or as fast as the average person. It is also difficult to make friends because of spasticity, drooling, unpleasant facial expressions, and speech defects. Victims of other afflictions, such as polio, muscular dystrophy, muscular sclerosis, and so forth, do not always accept CPs to be on their own level. CPs must prove to be equal to them. I first discovered this while attending a school for crippled children. I was shocked and hurt, and I don't think I have ever quite recovered from this realization. A roommate at the school coined an interesting but unoriginal phrase, "The only good CP is a dead CP." This, in essence, expressed the feeling of almost all who did not suffer CP. Very few CPs marry, and Arthur was married twice, and very few have much of a home life, if any, after their parents die. It is a problem for the public to take care of those afflicted with CP. For years, the problem was taken care of by conventionally tucking CPs out of sight and putting them in a dark corner where they lethargically pass the time. The public is slowly arriving at an awareness that the CP is included in the human race. There are special schools, special homes, special associations for the CP. However, there is a tendency to confine CPs, or all cripples, into one little social group. The life expectancy of a CP is considerably less than an average person. This does not mean they die early because of physical degeneration, but rather from psychological attitude. This attitude is primarily from not being accepted in society on an equal basis and not being able to do what the average person can do. Education is crucial to the survival of CPs, as well as all handicapped persons, even more than to non-handicapped. The individual who is both versatile and efficient takes priority in the job market, especially when jobs are scarce. It requires skill to become and remain employed even in the best times. This is especially true now when people everywhere are being laid off. So-called able-bodied unemployed workers can do hard labor or other physically oriented tasks. Not so with CPs or other handicapped who find it difficult to be employed at any time. Education doesn't guarantee jobs, but it does help, especially disabled job seekers. During times of government cutbacks, we handicaps, and he puts that in quotes, have to be resourceful just to stay alive without financial aid from agencies or organizations of some kind, public or private. I would have never been employed without a decent education. Luckily, I was able to attend college. Both of my degrees, Bachelor of Science in History and Master's in English, Master of Arts, have not directly related to any position I've held, but they give me more credibility than no degree. Combined with my real-life experience, my academic education has given me the skills to create every job I've ever had. Throughout the ages, the CP has been treated more as an animal than as a person. In ancient Greece, for instance, CPs were thrown over cliffs to their deaths because of their uselessness, as were all physical cripples. During the Middle Ages, they were locked away in dark pits, along with the mentally insane. During the Renaissance period, artists depicted them as creatures in their works. A carving from ancient Egypt was dug up of a person whose body was deformed in such a manner to indicate he suffered from cerebral palsy. It has not been until recently that CPs were allowed out into the streets and to intermingle in society. During the late 19th century, for example, CPs were confined to rooms and were more or less a thing nobody talked about. CPs are much better off than they have ever been, and the future looks brighter than the present. The promise that modern technology and medicine might come upon at least a partial cure has become more likely. More than that, the public is becoming more aware and understanding of the problems of cerebral palsy, which means CPs can hope for a more pleasant future. And that was Matrix of a Social Spastic by Arthur Honeyman. Now I'd like to read a poem by Arthur, Spastic Power. He wrote this, oh my God, when he was in his 20s, I believe. Maybe early 30s. Spastic Power by Arthur Honeyman. Stare at a spastic. Watch me shake. What's so different about me? What are you looking at? Be kind to a spastic. Coordinate with a spastic. Vote for Arthur Honeyman II. Joy. A spastic loves you. Spastic power is an ego trip. I'm just fooling you. I'm not a spastic. Nail a spastic to a cross. Spastic power says, steady now. Spastic power questions. Spastic power probes. Does it hurt? Go steady with a spastic. Catch a falling spastic and put it in your pocket. A spastic is a many-splendored thing. A spastic is the kaleidoscope. Commit suicide with a spastic. Spastic power is radical. Spastic power shakes. Now, spastic, don't be drastic. I'm all shook up. Spastic power. Drool with a spastic. Spastic power shocks. Scare a spastic. Smoke a joint with a spastic. Get drunk with a spastic. A spastic is a moving target. Adopt a spastic. Have you been raped by a spastic? Are you threatened by a spastic? Spastic like me. The once and future spastic. All quiet on the spastic front. The spastic also rises. Spastic in Berkeley. The spastic writes poetry. You don't want a politician in the legislature. You want a spastic, don't you? A spastic in King Arthur's court. Be spastocentric. A spastic looks at society and waits for Godot. A profound spastic. A spastic's mask does not hide his body, just his soul. Spastic power. Tragedy or comedy. The worldly spastic. Put a spastic in the legislature. A spastic in every House of Representatives. A spastic in every lobby. Spastic power is for democracy. How about you? Shake a leg. Vote for a spastic. Shake a hand. Shake a spastic's hand. I'll bet I can't hold still. I'll bet I can hold still. Take a spastic a lunch. Spastic power is flower power in disguise. Rise and unite, spastics of the world. Twist and shout for spastic power. Stutter for a spastic. Spastic is a layman's term for cerebral palsy. Good news, a spastic accepts you. A spastic? A likely story. Stop a cop with a spastic. Smile at a spastic. A spastic smiles at you. Use a spastic for a television antenna. Spastic power through the looking glass is spelled Rewop Sitsaps. A spastic in Wonderland. A wonder in spastic land. Beautiful, beautiful spastic. Educate a spastic. Educate a spastic. A spastic educates you. Spasticity is elasticity. Spasticity is erudition. Spastic power is sedition. Cut loose with a spastic. Spastics, God damn them anyhow. Do you have the guts to wear this button? Spastic power. Become a spastic, not a shaker. A spastic mind wanders in devious ways. A spastic is a deviant. Maybe your spastic son could grow up to be a football player. Maybe your spastic son could grow up to be a legislator. What if God were a spastic? I'll bet you don't have a cart. Drop a Rolaid with a spastic. Go down the tube with a spastic. Take a spastic down the fire tube. Who is your favorite spastic? Stand on your head with a spastic. Feed a spastic. And they shook slowly into the sunset. Wipe your feet on a spastic, but don't step on his toes. Spastic power is not reasonable. It's feeling, but then so is love. I is hung up on spastic power. Put 100 spastics in key positions throughout the streets, and there would be a whole city of paralyzed traffic shaking the foundations. Why not grab a spastic and use him as a machine gunner? Stop war. Draft spastics. Freak out the enemy. Spastic power is neat. Put a spastic in sneakers. Put yourself in spastic shoes and then dance. Spastic power because wipe out prejudice. Vote for a spastic. Have you seen a spastic kitty cat? I have. A spastic is not an epileptic, but he wishes he were. Shake, rattle, and roll. Shake the foundations with spastic power. Don't just stop at shakies. Go all the way with spastic power. Spaz zaps. Spaz means spastic power. Spastic power against Z's. Z's. U.S. means Uncle Spaz. U.S. wants you. Confront a spastic. Dance with a spastic. I'm not a spastic. I'm a choreoathetoid. I'm not a man. I'm a spastic. How often do you shake? Spastic power is a learning process. Spastic power is a loving process. Spastic power is against boxes. Spastic power is against institutions. Spastic power is for black power. Be a clown with a spastic. Rub nose with a spastic. Take a spastic to your country club. Spastic power is serious, but not too serious. Spastic power is a joke, but not too funny. Spastic power confronts you. Spastic power uphill. Spastic power downhill. Spastic power looks into the future. Spastic power shakes away the past. Shakes is not a disease. It is a psychological condition. Shakes are not just for houses. Shakes are not always chocolates. Shakes are not just shingles. Buy a spastic shake. CP means cerebral palsy, not Communist Party. Spastics can drink beer through a straw. Grow a beard for a spastic. A man once said the only good CP is a dead CP. Is that true? I'm a spastic, not a drug freak. Hitchhike with a spastic. Spastic power equals joy. Rewop sit saps. Walk a tightrope for a spastic. Laugh with a spastic. What's a spastic? I do not have muscular dystrophy. I'm a spastic. I'm a spastic and a man. Spastic power dislikes corners. To the back of the bus with a spastic. Spastic power means to be conspicuous. Spastic power is not a mistake. Spastic power is evil. And you know what evil spells backwards. Give a spastic a bath. Spastic power is joyous, hopeful, and insane. Get kicked out of a restaurant with a spastic. And that was by Arthur Honeyman. Spastic power. And I don't, like I said, remember exactly when he wrote that, but I believe it was when he was running for the legislature, which meant he was past 30. Actually, he was 30, which leads me on to reading something I'd like to... I wrote it. I discovered it the other day when I was looking through some old stuff. It was something I wrote on his 30th birthday. And we are at the barricades at Portland State University during the student strike against the Vietnam War. And his birthday was the day before the cops came in and clubbed us all down around our medical tent on Bloody Monday, 11 May, 1970, 40 years ago. So here is what I wrote then. It was Sunday morning, and my friend Arthur Honeyman was 30 years old. His 30 years had been remarkable. Arthur was born with cerebral palsy. He spent most days in a wheeled cart his father built when he was a boy. He propelled it with his legs, which were as strong as a bull's. A sign at the front of the cart said spastic power. At the back of the cart, another sign, spastic power may be an irrational feeling, but so is love. Though many thought he was stupid, taking as evidence his spasticating body and incessant drooling, a friend named him the Slime King, He was actually a brilliant man, a writer, poet, and teacher who was working towards a master's degree in English. A great sense of wild and irreverent humor, as well as his great courage, dispelled any thought of him as a freak, and that's a quote, among his many, very, very many friends. His poetry, which he shakily dictated to anyone with a pencil close at hand, was among the most literate and sensitive I have read. The day he turned 30, he was a candidate for the Oregon State House of Representatives. His slogan, beneath a symbol of China's yin and yang, was, flow spasmodically. Don't trust anybody over 30, I said to Arthur, as he sat in his cart around a fire in our barricade trash can. Time for you to retire from the youth movement, I said. He laughed and rolled his shaggy head, stomping his legs and waving his hands and arms. His body is in continual spasms, but laughing quivers him all over. Now you're 30. You want to feed at the public trough, I continued. That's the real reason you're campaigning. He stomped his feet and rolled his head. He opened his mouth, saliva dripping onto his beard. How did you know? He stammered. Each word is a torturous process for him. He stammers, slurs, stops, and starts several times. And he generally has to repeat every word until a listener might understand most of what he says. I often anticipate what he is going to say, and I am usually wrong. Once, when we were in a tavern, he wanted me to take him to the bathroom. I thought he said he wanted another beer. A truck pulled up outside the barricade. Anybody want breakfast? We grabbed paper plates and got rice and coffee. I fed Arthur, spooning rice through the hole in his beard, and washed it down with coffee, slurped by a straw. And that was Arthur Honeyman on his 30th birthday, 40 years ago, 10 May, on a Sunday, 1970. And the next day, the cops came in and beat up us protesters. But Arthur was not with us because he celebrated his birthday Sunday night rather wildly and had a very bad hangover the next day. So he missed it. And he apologized to many of us for many years afterward. But I gotta say, I miss him more than I miss anybody, I think. I just don't want to face the fact that he's not on this planet anymore. It just doesn't seem right that he's not here. I feel that he's my twin, and I guess I have felt that way ever since I've known him. And you know how twins feel when one is gone. At any rate, this has been Michael McCusker. Good morning and good evening on this lovely, lovely May Day, which Arthur would certainly appreciate. I'll see you perhaps next Thursday, if the sky doesn't fall, or a truck run me down, or I fall into the river and get swept out into the big pond, which is probably where I should leave my body after all the years of taking all the fish out of it when I was working the little boats.